It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 25th day of July, 2022. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Hi, I'm Robin. It's More In Monday on the Horn, and, oh, you know, we're going to have a special visit. We're going to have a special visit from Annette because, well, she's been despising J.D. Vance just about longer than anybody, and we've got a J.D. Vance sighting in the More In stack today, and I thought I would come in and let her, she said, hey, I want to, and I said, you get to. Because that's how it works. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program's no different. And so that means we say thanks to our 25th, 24th, and 23rd day of the month subscribers, which means thank you to Peter. Thank you, Peter. And thank you to Mark and to Mark. The 25th is our Mark and Mark day. And thank you to A very dear friend who knows who they are. Thank you, Mary Bell. And thank you to Samson and Josh. Thank you. Thank you to Pam up in Washington State. Thank you so much to Philip in Maryland and Stacy, our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. And that's our weekend's worth of partial sponsors of the program. If you'd like to be a partial sponsor of the program, it's very easy. You can use the PayPal button on the main page at headon.live, or you can become a Patreon subscriber. Either way works fabulously. And we've got 4 open slots in the remainder of this month to have your first $10 a month subscription doubled, courtesy of our pal Zed in Iowa. And I certainly hope it would be great if we could get those 4 subscriptions. We closed out with a deficit on Friday. Billable Rick's challenge did get met, and that's wonderful to know. And so we have four broadcast days this week. Today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Thursday will be a front porch, because I will be leaving here at some insane hour of the early morning to drive down so I can be at my appointment in Nashville on Monday and see my surgeon for a follow-up. Finally, I haven't seen him since the 6-week post-op mark, so I'm eager to get a clean bill of health. And so I'll since it's about 100 miles on down to my hometown. I'll go down and put some flowers on my parents' grave and graves, and take in a little bit of the music from the WC Handy Music Festival. And then, like I said, the appointment is Monday. And after I'm done, as soon as I'm done, I'll be getting on the road and heading back up this way. And if the appointment's over by 11:30, which it should be, that means I'll probably be home by nightfall here Monday evening, but not in time enough to get a show done. So that's the week's plans. And where that leaves us for funding this full month, this month in full, is that we've got $2,200 to go. That's $2,200 divided by 4 days. That's, what, $550 a day? It's grim, and it's worryful, and it's for bills that are still in need of paying. And also, yes, my travel travel expenses. So, if you can help, please do. This is independent broadcasting like no other, and we've been around for for longer than a lot of people. And we've been around because you're determined enough to make this keep going. Believe you me, if I was independently wealthy, I would never pass the hat. I wouldn't. So if you can help, please do. And we'll see. We'll see just what happens. I mean, frankly, I'm going to be crushed if I can't afford, if I can't leave here and go and get my appointment. Because I have to pay for the appointment, too. Because, like millions of other Americans, I'm uninsured. Sucks. But that's enough of me pogo sticking up onto the cross. This being Morian Monday and everything, let me get Annette back here so we can give J.D. Vance his Morian Monday due. She's going to be here somewhere. Texting her now. And, of course, as far as Morian Monday goes, it wouldn't be Morian Monday without a marginal trailer queen sighting. We got her, a horrifying story coming out of Ohio. Happened a couple of weeks ago over there because, well, Ohio is an old indigenous word for Alabama. And Ohio gets a little more Alabama, it seems, every damn day. But I just messaged Annette and asked her to come back. And I have the story in question. Hi, sweetie.
Hello.
Let's see. Let's make this work a little better. We'll point it so we can both talk into
see,
it.
You even knew I was coming and you didn't have my headphones set up. What's wrong with you?
Okay, well, here.
Aw, bless you. That's sweet.
I was keeping them warm for you.
Were you now?
I was.
That's good.
I'll use my little in-ear monitors, and you can have the cans. And
bless you.
Bless you. Maybe my ears have grown. Now, damn it, I know that hormones did not make my ear canal change.
I'm just glad this isn't visual in nature.
Well, I mean, honestly.
Oh, for the love of... just shove it in there. That didn't sound right.
You know, you'd be surprised how many people tell me that.
Okay. So
she doesn't like it when I work blue. But I'm wearing blue, so.
I'm just shaking my head.
I know. So, I've already explained that you probably despise J.D. Vance at a professional level.
Oh, I have since the day I first laid eyes on him. He's a jackass.
And, you know, of course, there's the story of the tiger mom up at Yale who mentored young J.D. and taught him to be a right-wing piece of crap at the same time that she was grooming. Hey, there's that word, grooming young women to be law clerks for Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, let's...
But he's but
no. We don't even have to be hateful about it. Here's the point.
Oh, I want to be hateful. Well, I despise him.
No, being hateful doesn't get you anywhere in the world. So, the thing about him is that he defined literature that is now considered a classic about hillbillies.
Mm-hmm. Use the word in everything.
Well, it's Hillbilly Elegy. I hate to mention the book, but...
It is what it is.
And he's a Buckeye. Mm-hmm. That's not a hillbilly.
Okay, we're not going to make any Buckeye jokes.
I wasn't making a joke.
No, you're just pointing out the fact.
Pointing out the fact. So, his description of what's going on doesn't just happen in rural America. It happens all over America.
Right.
You know, everybody's dysfunctional in their own way. But he targeted us at a time.
How very Tolstoy of you.
Oh, yeah. Well. But it's the kind of thing that he targeted Appalachians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I've gotten to the age I don't like insults very well, so I don't take it well, especially when it impacts our governance. And he's become a problem.
Well, and it goes without, well, if it went without saying, I wouldn't say it, but the fact of the matter is he's the Republican nominee for Senate in Ohio.
Again, Buckeye. This is not a hillbilly.
Right.
But he's a jackass.
Now, some would take issue with you and say that there are some hillbilly places in Ohio.
Well, I was a hillbilly in Ohio for a while, go Orville. But, you know, still, that was a Mennonite community.
Mennonites are nice.
They are. They're very good people. It's a close-knit community, which is pretty great. But evidently, he didn't participate in it. Because his grandma set his grandpa on fire. Woo-hoo. That's not hillbilly.
Well, you're getting a little pushback. Matt in San Francisco says, being hateful doesn't get you anywhere, except president. But I get the sentiment. So, and Lee in New York said, being hateful doesn't get you anywhere. Sorry, Nat. Counterexample, Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, but I don't like him. So I try not to emulate something I don't like. I don't grab anything anywhere at any time. We'll get to that story
later.
Well,
and you have your fan base. Steve in New York says, J.D. Vance, Annette's comments very much did not offend this Buckeye. Old J.D. is a first-class champion cock knocker.
Yes, he is, and I have nothing against Buckeyes. I got family in Ohio, so... Again, Orville.
You're saying it wrong. It's Ohio. Steve taught me. Ohio.
Well, I'm just I'm an ignorant hillbilly, I talk funny.
Yeah.
And if you can't understand me, then I'll translate really well. I'm into my granddaughter for $30 on this show, so I'm just telling you, that's for swear words. God only knows what's going to pop out of my mouth. I'm sure Robin will push me there.
Black stack and not pull frezzleck and... Yep.
It's been a week, so...
Yes, Yosemite Samantha.
So he believes women should stay...
Well, and that's the story.
Not just in bad marriages, but possibly violent marriages.
Yes.
Because, you know, a woman knows her place. And, no, I'm not going there. There's just as many men who get abused.
And
so,
this is devolving rapidly, because now Matt says, I have nothing against cock knockers.
Well, eventually,
we're a loving community.
No, eventually I want to find one. So, you know, it again, that's another story. Mine are invisible, but Yeah. So we're both on the same team there.
Oh, we're both Team Ghost.
Mine was a scammer. I fell for a scammer right off the bat.
And then you broke the scammer's heart.
And I broke the... I don't know how that happens, but it was my first try.
This is a woman who can take a telemarketing call and get the entire life story from the telemarketer and have them in tears by the time she's done.
But I genuinely like people.
Way.
No, I genuinely like people. Look, people are going to think that we're just goldfishing all over the place. Let's get back to J.D. Vance.
What? Squirrel?
Squirrel. So he believes that you should stay in a marriage that could pop. This is for the kids' sake.
Right, and bear in mind, he made this in a speech in California because, you know, there's a lot of...
Cannot read the room, folks.
There's a lot of Ohio voters at the, what is it, Pacifica Christian High School in Southern California last September.
Well, I don't know if the Horn community knows. I was ordained back in 2016 by the Universal Life Church.
Yes, you are a gospel sharp.
I'm a minister. So my ministry takes me in some unusual places with some unusual people, but not the kind of people that J.D. Vance hangs around. I'm not good in that crowd. I can read a room.
So basically what he did is he went out to this Christian high school in Southern California, and any of the California contingent wants to tell me where Pacifica High School is, and I'm guessing, what, Orange County maybe?
It's not 9.
But he took a question from one of the moderators at this, I guess it was a discussion or a debate or something. Who wanted to know and talked about his grandparents' relationship and said, what's causing one generation to give up on fatherhood when the other one was so doggedly determined to stick it out even in tough times?
My dad was born in 1915 and was under three divorces. I don't think this started in the 60s.
Well, it didn't, but I think there's a point to be made out of what he said. And in giving his answer, J.D. Vance said, this is one of the great tricks that I think the sexual revolution pulled on the American populace, which is the idea that, like, well, okay, this marriages were fundamentally, you know, they were maybe even violent, but certainly they were unhappy. And so getting rid of them and making it easier for people to shift spouses like they change their underwear, that's going to make people happier in the long term. And maybe it worked. Now, you've turned to, I know you're fighting off the urge to scream and swear. You're gonna owe our granddaughter her college tuition. Mm-hmm. Before,
$30, folks. That's
and
what
maybe
I owe
it
her.
Worked out for the moms and dads, though I'm skeptical, but it really didn't work out for the kids of those marriages. And that's what I think all of us should be honest about, is we've run this experiment in real time, and what we have is a lot of very, very real family dysfunction that's making our kids unhappy.
Okay. Let me point out something there.
There's nothing that makes little Timmy and little Susie happier than hearing their parents, you know, tear each other to pieces, or watching mommy get the shit kicked out of her,
or getting hunted. I mean, you know, all kinds of things there. But it's not anything to make light of. You can't be for kids when you're putting them in more danger than what they're already in. So there are marriages that are so violent that, you know, that kid doesn't count anymore because it's going to be used as a pawn.
Yeah, and I'm really not kidding. J.D. Vance triggers you.
I don't like that man. I don't wish him ill. I just wish he would shut the fuck up. Like, Becky, shut the fuck up now.
Hey. Yeah.
Triggers me.
Why do you suppose that is?
Well, because... Now, I don't think his wife's going to let him be her.
I mean, you've declared eternal enmity against, I mean, of all people, Ron Howard.
Oh, and Glenn Close, we're not friends anymore. But this doesn't matter. Yeah, Opie, you pissed me off too. So anybody that would take that book and perpetuate the type of the stereotype of the hillbilly. And just keep on and keep on.
And then use it to catapult toxic right-wing talking points about how you got to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Well, you know, it looks like his bootstraps were pretty good to be that poor. Because I can tell you, the poor don't have any bootstraps. They have no safety net. I deal with them every day. There is no safety net. So people like him make it impossible to get ahead, and so you either fight or you die.
Yeah, the poor aren't a them, it's an us.
Yeah, it is us. But the point being is that we're all in it together. There is no difference. But if you take a bunch of hungry dogs and you throw a bone in the middle, they're all going to fight for that bone. And that just takes away the attention from what else is going on.
And by the way, Matt in San Francisco says, that movie did suck.
Oh, it did.
It, not just because of the subject matter or because of the book it was made from. It was a bad movie. I mean...
They had an all-star cast, which evidently couldn't find their
Glenn
way
Close,
through.
Sally Field? Was Sally Field in it?
No. Amy Adams.
Amy Adams,
I'm not her friend anymore either.
I liked Amy Adams.
Well, the thing of it is...
I loved her in Charlie Wilson's War.
That wasn't Amy Adams.
It was.
No, it wasn't. It was the girl in The Notebook.
I thought they were the same girl.
No.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to learn a thing or two, aren't you, girl? Yeah. Point being is this just puts more problems, because anybody that thinks that the .orgs for Stop Domestic Violence Now are doing their job, you're wrong. What their money goes to doesn't have anything to do with the actual work on the ground. And the reason I'm saying this is J.D. Vance is perpetuating the problem, and there's nobody for anyone to go to. So we're to the point that women who are married are basically chattel. I don't know about anybody else. Well, I'm not married anymore.
But, oddly enough, neither am I.
Exactly. So we're free, white, and ever 21.
That's problematic.
Why?
We're free and we're over 21. Oops. No worries.
I didn't mean anything by it.
I know. It just kind of jarred me.
Gretch.
No.
Wait. We're going to stop right there.
You just called me Gretch.
Yeah, we're going to stop right there. Don't do the offensive thing with me, because that will be something off air.
Okay.
We're good. Thank you. Nothing meant by it, and I apologize. Anyway.
Well done. No. I mean that sincerely.
Does anybody wonder why we got divorced? I mean, she's hell to live with. God, help me. I'm kidding.
I know.
You're a good girl.
Gretch.
So?
She calls me Gretchen.
Why would you continue to put a man on the best-selling list, make it a classic, that helps, you know, kind of led us to where we are now? Don't you think?
Yeah, but the point I was going to make is that with those remarks, I mean, again... Christian high school, Southern California, nowhere near Ohio, but he's out there because
money.
Yeah, we tend to think of California as a very liberal and progressive state, but there is an absolute crap ton, a garbage barge of right wing money out there.
Sure,
far more so than
that's
Ohio.
Anywhere. It's like our governor wanting to make more tax cuts with some fuzzy math.
Right, but you've got to kind of drill down on this to translate it into wingnut. See, divorce is legal in all 50 states.
Sure.
No matter how much it And but when he goes into it, when he goes into a place and starts telling women that they have to stay in a marriage and let hubby beat the shit out of them over the course of years, what he's doing is he's dog whistling to the Southern Baptist Convention. He's dog whistling to the Roman Catholic Church, and hoping that they in turn will catapult his message to their followers, and you know, maybe and maybe tell them that they'll burn in hell if they don't vote for J.D. Vance.
Well, if you're in a bad marriage, you're already there, so it's a short drive.
I mean, we saw 4 years of supposed Christians falling all over themselves to defend a man who had 5 kids by 3 baby mamas, had been divorced and philandered on 2 marriages and probably 3.
What does that do to the governing body, because they've all got secrets?
Well, sure they do. But this is how he thinks and I guess he thinks it's going to play with the folks back home in Ohio.
Oh, no, it won't. Maybe to somebody that has something to gain for it, but I
mean, remember at the beginning of the pandemic, remember the audio of that one woman who was going to some great big gospel sharp meeting, and she said, "I ain't worried about the COVID because I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb." Wrong accent, I know, but...
Well, look, people's belief system, their environment, and their emotional stability all forms that. The more stress you place on somebody, the more stress it's going to show. It makes people crazy. It makes them believe things that aren't believable. And you have to have that logical part in your brain going, you know, that's just not right.
No, it's not. But there's another aspect to this thing, again, because I speak right-wing code. You know, he says, that was another trick that the sexual revolution played on us. Recall? That's what he said.
Yeah, the 60s.
But what happens? What's he saying there?
He's saying every man ought to own a woman. That's what he's saying.
Well, not just that, but there's a reason that the sexual revolution happened. And the sexual revolution happened because of the arrival on the market of the pill.
Sure.
It made it possible for women to enter the workplace and stay in the workplace. It made it possible for women to have sex for pleasure, not simply for being rutted on.
Look, we've been over the handmaiden thing so many times that it's kind of worn out.
Yeah,
but and I don't mean worn out as in that nobody hears about it, but they don't pay attention to it anymore. It's not something, you know, it's just a movie. The one thing that cinema has done for us, especially in the last 20 years, has started focusing more on trying to tell a story, but then the people that they're trying to get that story to looks at it because it's just a movie.
Oh, and Billable Rick says Pacifica High School is in Garden Grove, California, where the lovely Star lives. You remember Star?
Oh, hey, Star.
But this is Pacifica Christian High School.
Every place has got them.
No, but I mean, apparently there's a difference.
Oh, okay.
There's the public school Pacifica High School, but then there's Pacifica Christian High School, which is what's cited, which is where he gave the speech. But thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you. And as Randy Radar points out, stress makes people crazy. No kidding.
I'm there. Yeah. It's okay. We're all in it together.
But to go back to the whole sexual revolution quip that he made, what that boils down to is, in typical Republican fashion, as we've come, you know, it's just predictable. They're so predictable now. The sexual revolution is because women. And women are, and the entire thrust of this Moran nomination is that women are at fault for continually running into their husbands' fists.
Praise Lilith. Look, if
not working, not our Lilith. I mean,
well,
her
yeah,
too,
her,
not
her very
right.
much so. But
yeah.
what I'm getting at here is, look, if he's going on theology, then you're going to have to go back to Lilith. And even though they tried to make her a bad guy.
Yeah, whatever.
It doesn't matter. I don't think she's going to rise up and get
Fletcher,
on the
Fletcher, Felcher, whatever.
Jesus. But even in biblical times, they talk about separation. It's been going on since the beginning of time. There's a reason for it. It saves lives.
Yeah, what did Natalie say? Eve's a great, I mean, Adam's a great guy and everything, but I want Lilith.
I returned the rib. It's, but what I'm getting at is, it's done. You can't try to take us back.
But you have to view this in context. They damn will try to take us back.
Oh, I know what the context is.
But take it in. Consider the context here. You've got the Dobbs decision coming out in last month, right. About a month ago now.
Right.
And in that, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, said that Griswold versus Connecticut, which made birth control legal by recognizing a constitutional right to privacy, Slappy wants to go back, reconsider it, and overturn Griswold.
How is he still there?
Well, you know,
His wife was committing treason, and he was engaged in it, too. So how is he still there doing that?
Apparently,
anything?
We are loath to prosecute treason. But and this is in context, of course, with the people who recently went to Walgreens, and we were talking about this on the show last week, went to Walgreens to refill her birth control pill prescription, and the clerk refused to serve her because of their deeply held religious beliefs. There are a lot of people. I don't think it's a majority. I don't even think it's a big plurality, but it is the religious teachings of this country that women must not have reproductive choice or reproductive freedom.
Before this all become the bee's nest it is, it happens. It happened before that. We actually had someone go home and tell their kid that one of ours was on birth control, and it was for cystic ovaries. But evidently, she wasn't smart enough to figure that out. And it caused quite a problem for her at school.
Oh, yeah. It was horrible.
So, why didn't you sue him? And yeah, good luck with that. Or getting him fired. Or anything else. You could stand there and do the St. Vitus dance in front of him, and it wouldn't matter. Because you can't win. But that's the point. It takes more than one person to win. If you stand together, it's like the Spartans. You build a shield wall. You do your thing.
Testudo, in Latin.
But if you're apart, then your opponent goes in through those cracks, and they decimate a legion. So, just depends on what you want to do.
Well, it does, but they also are absolutely clueless about the law of unintended consequences.
There hasn't been a whole lot of consequences for what's already been done.
For instance, they were so hell-bent on ending abortion, and now you've got doctor's offices where they're blocking out 2 and 3 days a week for doctors to do nothing but consults on on tube tying.
Oh, and vasectomies.
And vasectomies.
Yeah.
And so these white nationalists who trumpet the great replacement theory that all the white people are being replaced have now created a situation where there's lots and lots and lots of young people of all colors who are going to the doctor and saying, no, if I can't deal with this, if it happens and I'm not ready for it and I'm doing everything else, then no, just close the baby factory.
Yeah, but the funny thing about that is you have to be over 21 and have at least 2 children to have your tubes tied.
Not anymore. Most states not.
They finally waived that?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it used to be, because I know I tried to have my tubes tied at 16, and they refused. My brothers had muscular dystrophy, all 3 of them, and I didn't want to take the chance, but my pediatrician talked me into not tying my tubes, and I have my babies, and I'm happy for it. But it's not to be forced on, because we're not cows. And yes, I've been called a breeder before, and it didn't set well with me.
No. No.
So J.D. Vance, in a nutshell, yes, yeah. Which he is, yeah, is a danger to society in general.
Right, just like the Republican Party.
So then, you know, after the last few years,
what's this line about some people change spouses more often than people change their socks? Our divorce went through in a slap hurry.
Sure.
But COVID has wrecked a lot of court dockets, a lot of family law
dockets. That's because people are asking. No,
right.
No.
But wait, please.
Nope, hold on. The reason is because neither one of us had anything. We had nothing to even split.
Right, but
so the point being is what's bothering him is somebody's having to pay four or five times for marrying the wrong person.
I'm trying to set up a line here, okay?
This isn't about lines.
No, it
is. This
is
about life.
It is, because the question is, the docket must be equally long in Ohio.
Sure.
So what does that say about how often people in Ohio change socks?
Makes me wonder if he's getting divorced.
Makes me wonder if he's got any socks.
Maybe that's why he's getting divorced.
Oh, dear.
It's just because somebody's in the spotlight doesn't mean that everything that revolves around them should be taken as a truth. And if you make it famous, then there's enough people that'll follow along and make it difficult.
Well, you have been awarded a cowbell by Lee in New York.
Oh, thank you, Lee.
For J.D. Vance in a nutshell, and so he is.
Aw, thank you. But why are you going to...
And by the way, it was Hayward, Wisconsin. Oh, and it wasn't birth control pills. I have spoken wrongly.
Uh-oh.
Flavio reminded us that they were condoms.
Condoms?
The woman forgot her pills at home, and they stopped at a Walgreens in Hayward. I have been in that Walgreens to get condoms, and the cashier wouldn't ring up her fucking purchase and embarrass the woman who had to wait until the manager rung up her purchase. It's important you get the story right, because it's even more ridiculous. It is. I remembered seeing pills in the story, but no. I think they were traveling. She had forgotten hers, and so just went and picked up a box of...
If all else fails, lamb intestines. I'm just telling
you. Well, they're no good for disease prevention, though.
You can't have everything. I mean, what are you going to do?
But
it
wouldn't have mattered if it was the Lamb of God condoms. That religious freak was not going to sell them.
Wait, aren't condoms to where you can go up and pick them up and go to the front and
that's
pay for them?
That's what she did.
Then you go to another register and have somebody ring you up.
You have, honey, you haven't been out a lot in the last 3 years. Finding more than one cash register open at the same time?
Oh, if it's about God, then I want another opinion, because God's not there to speak for himself.
How the hell does someone else's religious belief, strongly held or not, take precedence over someone else's retail decisions? If you don't want to serve the public, go home.
Right.
Why has Walgreens enshrined that bigotry in their corporate culture?
Look, guys, we don't need to make more babies right now. we need to deal with the babies that are on the ground. Look at all the kids that lost their parents to COVID and their grandparents. You're talking about babies out there that have potential. Unlimited potential. But they're being forgotten. They're being swept aside. It's funny that a government wants to focus on something that hasn't even been created yet versus the ones that's been created and left out. We got to do better. We got to want better.
No, and Flavio says, imagine the size of Hayward. This isn't a Walgreens in Milwaukee. I know. I bought my first Stormy Cromer.
In Hayward?
In Hayward. And went in that Walgreens. And I was flying, and I badly wanted to bring home some Spotted Cow beer. But it was never going to get on the plane. And it was dead of winter, and I mean they had cases upon cases upon cases upon cases of Spotted Cow and other, and it was like, no, you can't, damn. But no, I was in that Walgreens. I mean, and when I saw the Dateline on it, it was like, holy shit.
Well, let me make something clear. I don't know J.D. Vance, so it's not him personally. I don't like anything comes out of that man's mouth.
Aw, Matt, that's so sweet. New bucket list item. I'm adding having dinner with you two to my bucket list, just for the conversation.
Oh,
I really don't
you.
Care what's being served.
Thank you. Yeah, imagine the conversations that go on here.
Mm-hmm. Probably be Vienna sausage and crackers.
That's it.
But no, I can't.
If you do, I will make your life a living hell. So, there you go. Thank you.
Wait.
And I can do that.
Never mind. Nothing.
Oh, Gretchen. Slippery slope, my friend.
You're going to have them calling me Gretchen.
Okay. Listen, guys. I'm getting ready to do a fundraiser. This isn't Robin. This is me. Help Annette get out and get a place. Save me. The pandemic has stuck me here. Send it quickly. I was playing. I am trying to get out.
No, I've told you before, you're like that great 80s...
The look on her face,
that
folks.
That great early 80s obscure album title, It's My Life. And that album title was...
Talk Talk?
No. That is Talk Talk, It's My Life. Later covered by Gwen Stefani, poorly.
Wasn't bad.
Wasn't great. But no, the album title was, If You Leave Me, Can I Come Too?
No. This house is haunted. There are things in it telling me to get out.
Get out.
It's my family. Okay, back to J.D. Vance.
No, she wasn't. She was kidding about the... But she wasn't kidding about the fundraising because... Okay.
Wait a minute.
She sees it eating me alive from day to day.
I do. And when Robin and I divorced, she told me that she would help me move and get a place. And that's just not happening because you can't find places. You can't afford them. So she's my bestie and my roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And we get along pretty good, and you can imagine the conversations.
We love each other dearly.
Yes. And again, you can imagine the conversations we have off air. And that's what led to this one. Because I don't talk.
No, she saw the story, and she was incapable of rational human speech for at least an hour.
I seriously don't like this man's ideology. And the thing of it is how do you let somebody that takes a culture... If we're in a space now to where we care anything about culture instead of fighting with one another, why would you let someone get by in a major election year to push that ideology? And remember, West Virginia was blamed for Trump. It didn't matter that other places voted.
No, that's the truth.
It was a focus on West Virginia. So,
and there's a tie-in to J.D. Vance here, because when that stupid book came out, they looked to it as the complete and total unified field theory explanation for why hillbillies vote like hillbillies.
That's why they made it.
And they parachuted. And they parachuted mainstream for-profit media journalists in here in waves to talk to the hillbilly on the street.
Oh, they did, too.
Yeah, they did.
And I don't think they even picked the ones that were... Okay. West Virginia has its own brand of not okay. But still, you can't blame one section, but it was easy. Just like January 6th was easy. When you're trying to take over something, it just depends on how hard you push and what you push with. if you can make people fight amongst themselves, whether it be religion, where it be money. What?
It smells like somebody's brakes are burning.
And I'm going to let Robin go ahead and finish this off. But thank you all for letting me share my time with you. I don't talk much. I think about you all the time. And I just want you to know you're my family. And I love you. Come on, let me go find what's burning.
Well, I mean, you tell me.
Get over there.
Sorry, I smelled a funny smell. And I opened it. You tell. Okay, I opened it. Maybe somebody went by with their brakes burning. I don't. Wouldn't be the first time, but it's just, it's that awful smell. Well, thank you, Billable. Equal opportunity cowbell for you, Robin. Even if it was the Lamb of God condoms, the drugstore clerk wouldn't have sold it to them. I'll happily take that. And so, no, I wanted to get that story out there because it's more in Monday.
It was a semi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a semi going down the highway. Yeah. Okay. Lovely aroma.
At least it's not us. Right.
That's the important part. It's not us. I love you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
And by the way, Ralph said my subscription kicks in tomorrow. But if somebody will kick in $10, I'll kick in $10 on top of that. That would be tremendous. That would be huge. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ralph. And you know, she, Annette, she wasn't kidding. I really did tell her I'd try to help her find a place, but the intersection of the national park and people who work in the industry here trying to find places.
I guess it's like the rest of the country. Places to live are hard to find, and even if you find them, they're damnably expensive.
But it'll happen eventually. But in the meantime, it's just about getting the bills paid from month to month. And that is an Everest of its own sort. And the scary thing is, his numbers aren't great, but by the time November rolls around, J.D. Vance could be the guy who replaces Rob Portman in Ohio. Rob Portman was nothing to write home about, but he would vote the right way, you know, one time in 1,000. J.D. Vance won't vote the right way one time in 1,000,000. Of course we can't do anything to Slappy, Emilio says. That would look bad and be mean. Because you wouldn't want to be mean to, you know, somebody with a taste for marital treason or spousal treason, sedition, stuff like that. And, Matt, we would love to sit down and have dinner with you sometime. I think it would be delightful. If I can ever get her on a plane. We flew out to Vegas once and flew back, and she swore from that day forward. I'm trying to remember. Was Vegas or the Lib Boat? Which one of those came last? But anyway, the last time she got off a plane, she determined would be the last time she ever got off a plane, which means there would be no next time she got on one. You'll have that, but it's certainly been a moronic weekend. Tough crowd. I really, really worked for that joke about changing socks in Ohio, and nothing. He went on, J.D. Vance did, to say, culturally, something has clearly shifted. I think it's easily, but probably true. No, we got to that part. I think that probably I was personally, and a lot of kids in my community who grew up in my generation personally suffered from the fact that a lot of moms and dads saw marriage as a basic contract, right? Like any other business deal, once it becomes no longer good for one of the parties or both of the parties, you just dissolve it and go on to a new business relationship. But that recognition that marriage was sacred, I think, was a really powerful thing that held a lot of families together. And when it disappeared, unfortunately, I think a lot of kids suffered. And, I mean, there's actually, over at Vice.com, you can watch the whole video of the thing. And, in fact, he did get called out. Vice actually sent him a question through his spokescreep, asking why he thought it would be better for children if their parents stayed in violent marriages than if they divorced. And the spokescreep wrote back, "I reject the premise of your bogus question. As anyone who studies these issues knows, domestic violence has skyrocketed in recent years and is much higher among non-married couples. That's the trick I reference, that domestic violence would somehow go down if progressives got what they want, when in fact modern society's war on families has made our domestic violence situation much worse. Any fair person would recognize I was criticizing the progressive frame on this issue, not embracing it. But I can see that you're not a fair person. So rather than answer your loaded and baseless question, let me offer the following. I'm an actual victim of domestic violence. In my life, I've seen siblings, wives, daughters, and myself abused by men. It's disgusting for you to argue that I was defending those men."
Wait. J.D. Vance is a woman. We see you, honey. You're valid.
And the problem is, that's entirely wrong. Because the numbers make, as they often do, will make a liar out of a Republican. Over the course of time from 1995 through 2015, a 20-year span, domestic violence went down from 15.5 per thousand women and 2.8 per thousand men to 5.4 per thousand women and 0.5 per thousand men over that 20-year span of time. So, you know, if you're a Republican, when in doubt, make shit up. The other side of that coin, however, is that domestic violence did rise during the pandemic. Because domestic violence victims were trapped at home with their abusers and could literally die trying to go out and get away. And of course, you know, one of the things that sold Hillbilly Elegy so hotcakes-like was the fact that he recounted the horror, J.D. Vance did, of his being raised around a grandfather who was a violent drunk and his grandmother who was a violent non-drunk. His non-drunk grandmother poured gasoline all over Grandpa, and threatened to light it. Yeah. But you never want to let facts get in the way of a good story. Oh, and this, since, you know, we were talking about Yale earlier and J.D. Vance, this is a clip from MSNBC, and the banner says, "New Harvard study finds support for Trump, most common reason rioters stormed Capitol." Well, I mean, dog bites man. Not a lot of news there, but no, this, since it came from Harvard,
None of the other things that they found were real until Harvard confirmed it. Of course, it's accompanied by a video of the maggots storming the Capitol.
Ben, I want to circle back to something you said, which was that the third most common response in the study, rioters thought they were participating in, quote, revolution, civil war, or secession. 6% listed, quote, a general interest in violence. What does that tell you, Ben?
These were angry people ready to fight. And that's what you saw a lot of out of both, like, the Proud Boys, the militia groups, the Oath Keepers. They were ready to go. A lot of these people had plans to go fight that day. You know, Alicia, an interesting thing at the time, I was on all of the extremist forums at the time, and they were listening to the speech that Donald Trump was giving at the time, and they were angry at Donald Trump. They were like, I thought you were going to give hard and fast proof of a stolen election here. This is all the stuff that you've been talking about for weeks. And in that speech, he was talking about Oprah a couple of times, and the militia groups were like, why is he talking about Oprah? I thought we were here to fight. So in real time, this backs up, this data backs up what we knew at the time. These were really angry people who thought they were going to get some sort of silver bullet.
And I love the fact that this is a breaking news story about a breaking news study from Harvard. Who here didn't, I mean, nobody here, nobody in the Horn Family Community Congregation, but who's out there in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God, didn't know that they were talking about civil war, didn't know that they were talking about secession? How long have these stories been circulating? But Harvard just noticed. Bless their hearts. Yeah. Meanwhile, the guy that Merrick Garland can't seem to figure out how to indict, Matt, it just gets worse. He decided he was going to comment on what women look like. What a guy. I mean, that's a man's man, that Matt Gaetz. Get the bucket.
Our America is a pro-life nation, proudly. Have you watched these pro-abortion, pro-murder rallies? The people are just disgusting. Like, why is it that the women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions? Nobody wants to impregnate you if you look like a thumb. These people are odious on the inside and out. They're like 5'2", 350 pounds, and they're like, give me my abortions or I'll get up and march and protest. And I'm thinking, march? You look like you got ankles weaker than the legal reasoning behind Roe versus Wade.
No, he'll be here all week. Because Merrick Garland can't figure out how to indict a guy who sent $900 to his wingman, who then paid $900 to an underage girl for sex. But Matt Gaetz isn't even particularly good at this because, you know, long before he went to his eternal justice at the pineapple receiving facilities in hell, Rush Limbaugh was, as he coined the term, feminazis, talking about how ugly women who don't want men to force them to have babies are. Jesus. But then again, they're not exactly, well, their crowd, did you hear how the crowd roared? It was kind of like last week, the clip of the lynch lady in Florida. Might even be in Matt Gaetz's district when you get right down to it. but how her crowd cheered when she suggested lynching doctors who provide gender-affirming care. These freaks on the right wing, they hunger for hate. Viciousness is their vittles. And, maybe I'm overstating the case, but I was at the Rally for Reproductive Freedom down in Charleston a couple of weeks ago. And there was every kind of woman there. Women of every ethnicity, women of every age, every appearance, and they all had one thing in common. They didn't want the Matt Gaetzes of the world telling them what to do with their bodies. And I dare say that underage girl probably would not have had sex with him or his wingman had it not been an economic necessity. Long, 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 long time ago, when I was having a cup of coffee in law school and poring over the parts of Prosser on torts that we would never get to, I found the section on tortious interference with business relations. And the case that spoke to that principle came out of Mother England. And it had to do with a guy named Jack Lugg, who had encouraged a group of, I guess you'd call them burlesque performers, to strike against their abusive operator of the venue. And the operator of the venue tried to sue the labor leader for tortious interference with business relations, and the chancellor would have none of it. And basically ruled against the venue. But along the way, apparently the judge found the case rather interesting and wrote part of his opinion in verse, in which the name of the burlesque troupe was the What Tut Tut Review, and began by laying out the facts and explaining that because the women were so meagerly paid that they often turned to sex work to make up for what they weren't making as performing artists. And the judge said they were forced to ply an older and more ignoble trade. They were forced to ply an older and much more ignoble trade. You can hear it. And wrote in verse, the ladies of the chorus of the What Tut Tut Review, by economic necessity, were forced their virtue to eschew. And then went on to mention that the testimony that had been elicited at trial featured one woman who had said that she was forced to live with a malodorous and mal-shapen dwarf. And the judge wrote toward the end of the verse piece, and so she said, if Snow White can live with seven dwarfs, then I can live with one. How problematic. How troubling. But the fact of the matter is, the attempts to control the sexual, I mean, look again back to J.D. Vance. The trick that the sexual revolution played on us. horseshit. But it's a trick to let women have that's even troubling. It's a trick for women to have and practice sexual freedom, bodily autonomy, privacy. That's a trick. And if it's a trick, of course, you can undo the trick. You can make the trick illegal. But even the word trick, turning tricks, it's all just so disgusting, disgustingly misogynistic. As to Matt Gaetz, Matt in San Francisco says, I'd tell him to keep his mouth shut, but that's hard when you have no upper lip.
What? That's a beautiful moment.
Lee, speaking on Matt Gaetz, says, he does not find women attractive, but those teenage girls? Well, yeah. Yeah. And as to J.D. Vance, Flavio says, dividing people and conquering, that Elmer Gantry-like guy going all over the upper Midwest trying to defeat school referenda for funding public schools. This guy's destroying communities all across the upper Midwest. His name is Paul Doerr. Yeah, I heard an NPR story on him like a couple of years ago. And he runs a grift out of Ocheyedan, I hope, Iowa, called Copperhead Consulting Services, that specializes in beating back school bond votes. He just scored a victory in Sparta, Wisconsin. I've been there. And defeated the vote to raise taxes for a new elementary school. He made the issue so acrimonious the people in Sparta aren't speaking to one another. J.D. Vance is an opportunist. That's what he is. It's like the country is awash in Elmer Gantry's, charlatans, snake oil salesmen, and the defunding of education over the last decades has probably increased the number of ripe marks existentially. I had to look up thought, Flavio says. That was the first time I'd ever heard that word. A thought equals a sexually promiscuous woman. Now back to Harvard. Suman says they probably had too much money in their endowment at Harvard and didn't know what to do with it. I mean, God forbid they spend it on scholarships for poor kids. Well, what are poor kids doing at Harvard, Suman? God, it wouldn't be Harvard. Right. And Hayward, Wisconsin, and My Life of Crime. This from Billable Rick. While growing up, my family used to rent a lakeside cabin on Lake Minocqua in Minocqua, Wisconsin, not far from Hayward. One year, I remember that we attended the annual Lumberjack World Championships. While there, my life of crime started and ended. Six-year-old me walked into a drugstore, possibly the now infamous Walgreens there, saw a candy bar, and asked my parents to buy it for me. When they told me no, I put it in my pocket. After we got back in the car and drove away from the drugstore, my parents noticed me eating something. They asked me what it was, and I confessed it was the candy bar that I'd wanted at the drugstore. My parents then made a quick U-turn, and we returned to the drugstore, where, tail between my legs and with tears in my eyes and fearful of going to jail, I apologized to the drugstore clerk. Thus ended my short life of crime. Yeah, you apologized to the clerk. The clerk didn't have to apologize to the people he wouldn't sell condoms to. But I'm glad you turned away from your life of crime, Billable. I'm not sure who you're talking about, Randy Radar. I was wondering how many people are being paid to take one side or another. At the famous trip down the escalator, it was reported that many of the supporters were actually being paid. Yeah, they were paid actors. I know, yeah, that trip down the escalator. I was thinking about the escalator that Josh Hawley Ass was boogieing down, trying to get away from the... Yeah. But no, it took me a second. But, you know, for years there have been stories about, you know, Nicola Post, you know, for right-wingers to troll... you know, left or progressive commentary. I don't even think they have to be paid anymore now, frankly. You know, why buy the cow when you're getting the milk for free?
The trolls are happily out there trolling. And so we are past the top of the hour mark. If anybody has anything you'd like to talk about, feel free to jump in. This will be a shortened program this evening. I have to knock off about the halfway point. I've got one of those meetings this evening that I'm... It's you know, it's online, but I have to attend that, and so my apologies. Another moment of gun madness. This one a little bit different today at Love Field Airport in Dallas. Portia Odufuwa, 37 years old, walked into the airport at 10:59 a.m., walked in the restroom, came out with a gun, and then she fired into the ceiling. And the cops, since it was a woman with a gun, the cops felt comfortable in shooting her. Dallas Police Chief Eddie Garcia said she was dropped off, went into the terminal, and ducked into a restroom near the Southwest Airlines ticket counter. Came out in different clothing, possibly a hoodie, and opened fire. Chief Garcia said she produces a handgun and begins firing. The most we were seeing now, she was aiming at the ceiling. And a cop then shot her in what were described as the lower extremities. So she was shot more than once, sounds like. And she was taken to Parkland Hospital and was the only person injured in the incident. And apparently she was upset. She said she was married to a celebrity and he was cheating on her, and she was going to blow the place up. Everybody just took off in separate directions, according to Colby James, a 33-year-old machinist from St. Martinsville, Louisiana, who witnessed the event. Everyone just tried to get away from her. There was a lot of screaming. Christy Golden, 42 years old, from Austin, said she knew exactly what was happening. Normally, if you see a bunch of people running by, you think they're late for their flight. It was just this automatic feeling. You knew it was a shooting. In this world, that's just the automatic response. If they're screaming, that means you better get down and hide. I was shaking. I called my husband to tell him I'm hiding. I don't think anybody truly feels safe anymore anywhere. Yeah, Christy, that was the goal all along. And like any other right-wing desire, they have gotten what they wanted. Like I said, it's been a busy weekend for morons. That just happened this morning. And, of course, like I promised at the beginning of the program, we have a marginal trailer queen sighting. And it's the usual marginal trailer queen trash, but it's the silence that's really upsetting. You know that that Rachel Levine is of Pennsylvania is the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health. And she has done a tireless job advocating for health care for every American. But, of course, the rules are different for Rachel Levine because she's trans. And
So that means that she is a suitable target for attack by the likes of Marginal Trailer Queen and the other various and sundry misanthropes and transphobes and homophobes and bigots and creeps and, yeah. Last week, a couple of Marginal Trailer Queen's tweets got marked as violative of the rules, but because IOKIYAR, Twitter did not remove the tweets or ban her from the platform, which they should do. What she did was to tweet about Rachel Levine a nasty question. Tweeted at Rachel Levine asking her if she had had hashtag weenie chop, and that if she and whether she assisted in giving weenie chops to young people. Now, bear in mind, if she said that about the genitals of any other human being, she'd be out on her ear. Probably. But there's been no call from any of the Democratic leadership in the House for Kevin McCarthy to rein in his inmate from Bedlam. Nothing. Stunningly quiet. Now, but at least Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, said the Biden-Harris administration is stronger because of HHS ASH's work, that would be Rachel Levine, to deliver quality health care for all Americans, no matter who they are. She's a leader who's standing up for all of our children, especially some of our most vulnerable. And that is true. The thing is, last year, when Marginal Trailer Queen made disparaging remarks about AOC, they called on McCarthy to call her down, reel her in, whatever. But over this, it's been days, and it's crickets. As Caitlin Burns, who wrote the article at MSNBC, said, Green's comments are a break in decorum that we should all recognize as out of line, but we won't, because they were directed at a trans person. This was always the inevitable result of turning the existence of trans people into a political debate. In any other context in human history, mockery directed at someone's genitals is rightly seen as unprofessional at the very least, despicable at worst. But in a political debate, all rhetoric is seen as inbounds and often as an expression of protected speech. And, of course, Kevin McCarthy, because he's Kevin McCarthy, has been as silent as the tomb, as quiet as a graven image, because, well, it's a good dollar. Raises a lot of money for the Republican Party, does Marginal Trailer Queen, because hate is a solid commodity in this country. I mean, it's pathetic because Kevin McCarthy wouldn't even speak up for himself. Marginal Trailer Queen went on Tucker Carlson's program and intimated that Kevers it might be gay. And I'm only guessing here, but the only thing I can figure out is that somehow or another, and it's the same mindset that let Rush Limbaugh own the airwaves for as long as he did before he got all dead and had to go get pineapples. Never mind. And that is, well, you know, because I remember, you know, because I've always been interested in radio, I'd say, you know, we need a voice on our side out there pushing back against the toxic hatred of Rush Limbaugh. And the response I would get was, well, we don't want to be like him. We don't want to give him more oxygen. Nobody was giving it to him. He took it. And maybe the same thing is that we're in play with Marginal Trailer Queen. Well, just don't say anything about it. If you don't pay attention to her, maybe she'll stop. How's that working? This opinion piece at MSNBC is really good. Because Caitlin Burns goes on to mention the fact that things like right to choose and privacy are inextricably intertwined among several different marginalized and oppressed groups. I mean, for God's sakes, Fareed Zakaria, here's another Moran nominee, wrote a piece for the Washington Post in which he told Democrats that they should stop obsessing over pronouns and start building things, as if the two things are mutually exclusive. But I guess what is exclusive is the fact that the things that Fareed Zakaria wants people to build, wants the government, the Democrats to build, should be things that the Democrats should build that don't include pronouns. And as Caitlin Burns asks, my question is, why doesn't anyone ever ask Republicans to stop obsessing over trans people? If the self-proclaimed party of freedom just stopped and allowed trans people the simple freedom to live our lives without big government interference, they'd suddenly have a lot of time and energy to fix real problems in this country. Yeah, but they caused the problems, and there's not a hell of a lot of percentage in the betting that they're going to want to fix the problems that, well, they themselves caused. On and on and on and on. And I mentioned that we would have a story out of Ohio. And we do. And it's about a trans guy. A trans guy who had to go pee. The location was Crosses Campground in Camden, Ohio. And Noah Ruiz had been going there for years and years and years on vacation every summer, camping with family, and had gone there pre-transition. Well, Noah Ruiz, trying to be polite, asked which restroom he should use, and the campground proprietor said, use the women's room, it'll be safer for you. Well, it's not like we haven't pointed this out all along. Noah Ruiz presents masculinely and went into the ladies' room, and some woman screamed. And upon exiting the restroom, a group of three men grabbed him and began to accost him. Eventually, the crowd would grow to 40 or more.
The woman in the women's restroom said, "No man should be in this bathroom. Like, if you're a man, you need to use a men's bathroom." And he said, "I'm transgender. Like, I have women body parts, and I was told to use this bathroom." Well, didn't matter. Noah Ruiz said, "There was an old man that picked me up by my sports bra straps off the ground and was saying he was going to kill me and calling me a fag and shit like that. I had somebody choke me out to the point where my face turned purple." Well, Camden, Ohio is in Preble County, Ohio. And somebody called the cops. And the cops came and arrested Noah Ruiz, who had already been beaten, and charged Noah Ruiz with disorderly conduct and basically resisting arrest, and threw him in jail overnight. And the cops said he was the primary aggressor. You know, I guess for going pee-pee. At one point, one of the mob said,
"I think he was touching children."
He wasn't. Ruiz, having just been battered, was upset when the cops showed up and, yes, used some choice language. Funny thing is, when a publication called Them obtained the police report, it completely corroborated everything Noah Ruiz had said. And, of course, they misgendered Noah Ruiz all the way through the report, because Merca. And he continued to try to get justice, and the cops said, "Well, we got to send it to somebody else, and we don't know if anything's going to happen after that." The publication Them sought comment, got no comment. And only after the story went out via a news outlet, Fox 19 of all places, they asked, the cops did, for video and photo evidence of the assault. He showed him the bruises and noted, "They keep saying that they had no idea about the assault that happened, but I had multiple witnesses and multiple people, my girlfriend, my family, my sister, like so many people, just yelling for them to listen to us and go get the people and put their hands on me and abuse me and beat me. But they just refused to listen to me. They refused to listen to any of us." And now he's so traumatized. Imagine. Saying, "Hey, this is what happened to me, and I live with it every day now." God, somebody needs to write him a big old check on behalf of the Preble County, Ohio Sheriff's Department. And, of course, Ohio, like 12 other states, doesn't include sexual orientation or gender identity in their hate crime law. Right. So what? Right? So what? Portia at Love Field, Billable Rick, says, "After firing her gun in air, why didn't Portia just flee the authorities in her race car?" Quit that. Sounds to me like she was suffering some behavioral health problems. You know, nothing a couple of slugs into the leg won't it be cure, right? So,
that's just a little sampling of the morality over the course of the weekend. In the wider world, this is, I saw this earlier today. There are non-governmental organizations, NGOs out there, that are basically oriented toward Russian Jewish people. And according to this article in the Jerusalem Post, multiple Russian Jewish organizations have received threatening letters from the Russian Justice Ministry. Jewish organizations operating in Russia have gotten letters stating that they may be considered to be a foreign agent and forcibly closed down. And so they're not leaving yet, but they're going on the down low. But, you know, Putin's fighting the Ukro-Nazis, right? Oh, and I found this, I mean, this is kind of a good story. Judge Amy Berman Jackson is a badass. And she had a maggot in front of her, an insurrectionist. Of course, a former U.S. Army captain, a commissioned officer in the United States Armed Forces at one point, a guy by the name of Gabriel Garcia. He's a proud boy. You know, one of those that Harvard was surprised to find out was into violence and revolution and civil war. And yeah.
Who'd have figured?
He was arrested January 21st of 2021 for his participation in the putsch, the coup, the terrorist attack of January 6th, among other things. This genius posted video footage of himself saying he had just stormed the Capitol. He's charged with violent entry and civil disorder. He's been wearing an ankle monitor since he was released in, released last year. And he's filed, because genius, he has filed a motion for change of venue from the federal court in D.C. to the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida, saying,
an extreme level of prejudice exists in D.C. for January 6th Proud Boys defendants like me. Regrettably, in such a historic prosecution, any conviction of a Proud Boy or Oath Keeper by a D.C. jury will forever be tainted, questioned, and held to ridicule as vigilante-like justice reeking of political comeuppance.
This is for his motion. Well, all six federal charges with which have been lodged against him, he entered, and of course, a not guilty plea, and said that the entirety of D.C. is favorable to prosecution. Well, this is where Amy Berman Jackson showed what a badass she is. In the course of her opinion denying the motion, good for you, Judge. She quoted, of all people, Anthony Bourdain from the episode that he did about D.C. And it was a really cool episode, I remember it. And he was a hell of a writer. We know that. But it's not every day that... God, I wish he was around. He'd get a kick out of this. It's not every day that a federal judge quotes a bad boy chef D.C. is not just a city of dead presidents and cold marble monuments. The people we see working here on our television screens, in the halls of power, in the plush seats of Sunday morning punditry, often have as little to do with the city itself and the people who actually live here as any creatures from another universe. This is a city filled with actual living, breathing, eating Americans, not vessels for one ideology or another, empty suits and empty ideas, hard lives, hard struggles, and long roads to get here. And Judge Jackson said, yeah, the motion's largely predicated on sweeping, unsupported assertions about a city he does not appear to know or understand. And the guy cited a non-scientific online survey that I'm sure was circulated at Proud Boys R Us and Oath Keepers and, you know, Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters executive staff sites. And Judge Berman Jackson wrote, none of the surveys support an assumption that any prejudice against this individual defendant is so great that he cannot receive a fair trial in this district. Despite his grandiose claims, there's little evidence that D.C. residents know who he is at all. Oh, that's going to sting. But Anthony Bourdain's words... Well, I guess they had more reach and more significance than even he might have dreamt. Jeremy in Vermont. Gangrene. Are we 100% sure that Gangrene hasn't had a weenie chop also? She walks just a bit like the person in the January 6th pipe bomb planter video. That's just me, though, and I'm a prick. Well, good of you to take ownership, Jeremy. A long time ago, I even quit making jokes about Ann Coulter. Because, well, didn't seem right. But I get your question. And, of course, she has an office that's across the hall in one of the House office buildings from a woman who has trans children. And she torments her at every opportunity. What a life. Imagine being that empty. But that is what you spend your time on. Oh, and Marco Rubio, the guy that Nitwit Nero used to refer to as Little Marco. Well, he decided to attack the idea of, well, and we talked about his quote last week when the marriage equality bill passed the House. I think Marco said it was stupid or something like that, if I recall correctly. Because, among other things, you know, he said the marriage equality bill would be a stupid waste of time. And said that Buttigieg doesn't know the difference between state and federal levels.
I'll give you a real problem. We have a transportation secretary named Pete Buttigieg who believes that highways can be racist, who believes that $5 gas, which is killing working Americans, is a great thing because that means people are going to drive lesser because everyone's going to go out and buy a $65,000 electric car with a Chinese battery in it.
Oh, shut up. Well, once again, Pete Buttigieg proves he actually knows how this is done. He talked to Jake Tapper over at State of the Union on CNN.
I don't know if you heard, but Congresswoman Liz Cheney talked about, spoke directly to Senate Republicans who are on the fence about the need, in her view, to codify protections for same-sex marriage. It's still clear if there are 10 Senate Republicans willing to support it. Republican Senator Rubio told my colleague Maniraju he's going to vote no, and he called the vote a, quote, stupid waste of time. What's your reaction on that? What's your message to Senate Republicans?
If he's got time to fight against Disney, I don't know why he wouldn't have time to help safeguard marriages like mine. Look, this is really, really important to a lot of people. It's certainly important to me. I started my day, as I try to do on weekends. I try to give Chasten a little bit of a break and do breakfast with both of our twins. That alone, that's no small thing, as every parent of small kids knows. It was one of those days where the tray table wasn't quite fitting into the high chair, and I'm trying to make sure that they're busy enough with their little cereal puffs to give me enough time to chop up the banana and get the formula ready. And it just, I don't know, that half hour of my morning had me thinking about how much I depend on and count on my spouse every day. And our marriage deserves to be treated equally. And I don't know why this would be hard for a senator or a congressman. I don't understand how such a majority of House Republicans voted no on our marriage on as recently as Tuesday, hours after I was in a room with a lot of them talking about transportation policy, having what I thought were perfectly normal conversations with many of them on that subject, only for them to go around the corner and say that that my marriage doesn't deserve to continue. If they don't want to spend a lot of time on this, they can vote yes and move on. And that would be really reassuring for a lot of families around America, including mine.
He's good. No getting it. He knows messaging. And he's also right. And I'm sorry there are so many of these stories, but so much right-wing morality seems to there's nothing like somebody like me to bring out the morality in a wingnut. Enter Judge Charles E. Atchley, Jr., U.S. District Judge. He is a MAGA appointee, of course. He sits in the Eastern District of Tennessee. And 20 states brought a forum shopped his district to bring a case against the Biden administration to him. Federal guidance intended to protect transgender students and employees. It's a potty bill. And a sports bill. And on July the 15th, U.S. District Judge Charles E. Atchley, Jr., MAGAT, transphobe, said that those 20 states can engage in nullification of federal rulemaking. Nullification has been around almost as long as the United States itself. And here we are, doing it all over again. Fought a war over nullification. The Department of Education and the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission issued a guidance saying that Title IX and Title VII cover trans people. And specifically, those titles cover sex discrimination at schools. But now 20 states, and you can guess which ones they are, can give the middle finger to the President of the United States. He got out of committee, actually did, on a 13-9 vote. He was confirmed 54-41. And wait for it, his rationale for enjoining the Biden administration was that not letting states discriminate openly against trans people violated their states' rights. States' rights, y'all. States' rights. Jesus. Oh, and by the way, kudos. You know, not every story on Moran Monday is about a Moran. Or directly about a Moran. I am so very proud of medical students graduating from the University of Michigan. They were having their white coat ceremony, these newly graduated doctors. And for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out who would invite this doctor to speak, but their speaker, Dr. Kristen Collier, an assistant professor of medicine at the university, a misogynist physician, began to speak, and a host of these young doctors stood up, gave her their backs, and walked out. Because you see, they'd already done. They'd followed proper process. They had petitioned the dean of the College of Medicine, Dr. Marshall Runge, disinvited from the ceremony. By the way, Dr. Professor Collier directs the university's program on health, spirituality, and religion. In their letter, they said, "While we support the rights of freedom of speech and religion, an anti-choice speaker as a representative of the University of Michigan undermines the university's position on abortion and supports the non-universal theology-rooted platform to restrict abortion access, an essential part of medical care. We demand that UM stands in solidarity with us and selects a speaker whose values align with institutional policy, students, and the broader medical community." And they made it stick when they walked out. They said, "We seriously doubt whether the school will continue to advocate for reproductive rights. I'm already scared that I've chosen to attend school in a state where I may very well lose my right to a safe abortion." That was one of the students. And others in attendance cheered the young doctors when they got up and gave her their back. Dr. Collier has a right to run her mouth however she sees fit. She does not have a right to a massive platform hosted at the expense of a university funded by, among other things, the taxpayers of the state of Michigan. Tax and tuition-paying students, some portion of whose money went to support paying someone who despises their rights and their rights to treat their future patients. Took courage to do that, and I'm glad they did it. Let's run over to the Skype for a minute and check in with Todd. I'm going to knock off here at about 7 and in order to get ready for the meeting. Hey, Todd.
Oh. How you doing? Okay.
I'm all right.
So, sounds like, well, you know, the news ain't good anymore, you know. Yeah, I missed something here. What type of meeting are you going to?
Oh, it's politics. It's the LGBTQ caucus of the Democratic Party in this state.
Oh, that's good. You need that. Well, you know, I'm not home yet, but I'm just thinking about when I get home, I'm going to, you know, put something in the can. But, you know, I'm not quite. I want to get your. I want to ask your opinion on something. What's going on with Garland, and maybe inaction or action that we don't see. Because if there's an active investigation going on with Trump, they can't talk about it. But Garland, you know, previous behavior would indicate that he's not going to do anything.
It certainly looks like that.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, you know, still waters run deep or some bullshit like that, but I don't think he's impressing anybody these days.
Well, I would want to have to make the decision, honestly, because there's so many people, you know, who are Trumpers. It would be very disruptive to their psyche, you know, their mental state, if, you know, if he were brought on federal charges. And then, of course, the people who are involved in the military and politics. So it feels like we're just in an untenable place here.
Well, it feels like that. I mean, you're not wrong.
But see, that's just not right. I mean, I know it would set a terrible precedent, but I will never forget when, you know, the former president described the shithole countries, you know, around the world, yet he has behaved, he was involving himself in a coup, he and his cadre of folks. It's exactly what they do in those countries that where they wear the khaki suits.
Yeah, no shit.
Central America. You know,
and there are some who want to be that. You know, we knew all along from his own words that Nitwit Nero longed to be a Duterte. Longed, you know, remember when he spoke enviously of President Xi in China?
Yes.
I want to do over. I want to be president some more.
Yeah. Why can't I just be president forever, just like Xi? Right. Yeah, but it's just nobody's gonna be happy, which is might be a good thing. But man, I mean, right is right and wrong is wrong. With this the stuff that's coming out with January 6th investigation, and there's more in the way. But when you listen to Washington Journal, people think that everything's fine. They just don't understand why Trump is being persecuted in their mind. And, you know, then they drink liquor and have guns. And
yeah, no kidding.
I mean, where do you think all this is going to fall? I guess that's my question.
I think we are historically loath to charge a president or an ex-president. I mean, we know we're loath to charge a sitting president because, you know, that same toxic Office of Legal Counsel guidance has been around since 1975. And I think there are people who are afraid to charge not just an ex-president, but this particular ex-president, because they are scared of what he will have his demonstrably violent minions do. And that's a hell of a thing to say, but you know, prove me wrong.
No, I can't do that. That's the way it looks.
I mean, this is the walks like a duck, quacks like a duck test.
But see, that's the thing. This is a real quandary, because do you want to set that precedent? Like, just to let... Well, I mean, it's just, it's not one thing. It's not two things. It's a million different things. There's so much, you know, just from top to bottom. But you see, what should have happened is that after the Mueller report, when folks didn't quite understand what Mueller was saying, like can't do it because he's president, you know, there should have been some other type of remedy. At that point, they should have started crafting legislation to make sure that he could not run again. At that point, the Congress, but that didn't happen. Because this fucker could be, and now they're talking about it out loud. It used to be like a little side thing where, you know, we could put Trump in the Speaker of the House. And now on top of that, we find out that he's got this like serious, I mean, it's a serious coup type behavior where they're going to eviscerate, if these people get in, they're going to eviscerate more of our government, you know, to make it just ineffective. And who knows how many foreign spy moles we have in our law.
Definitely.
This shit is fucked up, man. Our shit is fucked up. Anyway, I see it's approaching 7, and
Well, I'm glad you called in. I always am. Sorry, I got to bug out of here early.
It's okay, and I always enjoy speaking with you, and you know, enjoy when you take my calls. I appreciate it, and I'm going to hang up.
Are you doing okay?
I'm hanging in here. You know what's funny? My neighbor's mother died 2 days after my father died. He lived right across the street. Well, he lives right across the street, and he said, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here because I'm just going to follow your lead." But you. Same people I use, same crematory, the same everything. It was just really, so we have this like bond. We're going to have this bond now until forever. This is really strange. So, you know, it's hard. It's hard.
It is. You know? I've been through it. It's very hard.
I can't even call him anymore. I used to just like, hey, let me see what he's doing. I can't do that.
No. And that fucks with you.
It does. Like tonight, because he was, you know, he was really stupid. You know, we could have a nice little discussion, but you know, not now. But thank you for asking, and I appreciate it. And I hope it's not raining when you go to your meeting.
Oh no, it's online.
Oh, good. Okay.
But I have to, I have to work on my appearance, and that takes a little bit.
Well, you have more to appear, more to show now.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah.
You know, you don't have a baldy like me. We're just like, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, girling's hard.
Well, you take care and thank.
Well, I was going to ask, do you have any idea when you're going to get home?
Oh, probably in 10 minutes.
Oh, I thought you meant you were still up there. No, okay. Yeah, so you're.
Oh, no.
No, you're living the swamp creature life right now down there.
Right. I'll have to go back.
I mean, I know somebody from up here who's in South Carolina right now. And she told me it's absolutely miserable.
Oh, my, everything's mildewy. It is just absolutely, it will not, it rains every 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, even here, it's just gross outside.
The steam and the humidity, shit.
Yeah, it's like it's not raining, but it's raining. It's just this mist in the air.
It's the air you can wear.
Yeah, there you go. That's the line.
Shoot, man. And energy went up, but I can't. I got to add air off, man. I can't do it. I have to be able to sleep. Yeah, it's bad, though. And then you have to try to mow the lawn when you can. You got to sneak it in, you know, in between the downpours.
Right.
But we've been having earthquakes. And we've had almost 70 earthquakes since December.
I mean, like you can feel them?
The highest being 3.6, which is pretty damn, you feel that shit. Let me tell you, 3.6 for like 4 seconds maybe, yeah, you feel that. Oh, a lot. Yeah, it's in the news, man. What they think is that the local river is has got some fissures in the riverbed, and it's going down into the bedrock. But I think they're drilling near the military base. That's what I think. I think they're making some tunnels. Something's not right.
Fracking, maybe.
But fracking. You know, and who? Yeah, don't start with the fracking. No, who the fuck signed off on that? That's one of the worst ideas I've ever heard. Putting poison water into the ground where you drink from, and then you just have to suck it back up and put it in these trucks and do something with it, just to get some shitty ass oil that you can't even use for gasoline.
Yeah.
You know, that's these stupid fuckers, man. He's like, oh, turn the oil on. Oh, my God, I got into it with the outdoorsman dude at work the other day. I didn't get into it. I was very professional. But he was, like, talking about Nancy Pelosi and what her husband's doing to get chips and how she's all corrupt. And I'm just thinking, damn, that's all you can fucking say. And he was railing against electric cars. And he was like, there's never...
Goddamn commie cars. That's what they are, commie cars.
They can't... It's really, they cannot, a hybrid they don't even like. They cannot stand, I mean, it really irritates a lot of these people. Electric, it looks like you just kicked them in the teeth like an electric car. Right, communist. Well, why is that? I don't get it. Please, explain.
Because burning oil is murka.
What? No. No, burning oil is passe. I mean, we need it, but this is the time. You got to transition at some point. You can't stay stagnant. Then we'll be in the dust again. I just don't. Well, this is the problem. That's why these fuckers are stupid. I mean, I don't want to say. I'm gonna stop calling people stupid. People do what they want to do, but you know, it just doesn't make sense. I have a very different take on that than they do. I just don't understand. Like. We need gasoline for emergency vehicles, maybe, you know, police vehicles, stuff like that. And it's time to transition. That's why hybrids are perfect. You know, you're still burning gas, but you're burning much less, and it's less maintenance on your engine. It's just a whole lot of positives. Like, well, how can you be against that? We should be. And we were never, they love to say that when Trump was in, we were energy self-sufficient. That's bullshit. That's just some shit they should have heard Sean Hannity say. That's bullshit. But I encourage everyone to listen to Washington Journal. And all you have to do, they have a website. You don't even have to have cable. And all, the, you know, you just pull it up. And if you want to hear America on fire, you listen to that shit. And you understand the fucking trouble we're in. And I mean, it's entertainment, really, in a way. Except it's sad. It's just really sad. And I don't know what's going to become of us.
Yeah, and I know they call it Washington Journal and everything, but let's be abundantly clear about something. This is entertainment, okay? So much of the toxicity of our political system is because it has been commodified and monetized for purposes of entertainment. It's just another cable channel. We follow politics. There are people in this country who follow politics now the way they follow professional wrestling.
Right. And had a mentality. My team, you know, that bullshit. We're all on the same fucking team. It's just which, you know, what squad do you want in? We're all on the same team. You know, who's going to be the coach and, you know, who the player's going to be. We're all on the same team. People forget that. And that's what I'm saying. When you hear people call in on Washington Journal, and they say, well, Trump was the best president ever. It just makes me, just perks my ears up, like, okay, please make your case. You know, because all I saw him do was break the law, steal, eviscerate our institutions, harbor racism, you know, foreign entities all inserted in our government. I mean, it's the list is just it's just deep and wide. It's a malfeasance. I just don't understand. But they swear he loves America. And once again, the social science in me, I have to. They're living vicariously through them, because if you notice, they almost come to tears when they say, "Why are you beating up on that man?" Because if someone said, if they feel like Trump is being slighted, or he's being misaligned in their mind, they feel it because they're living vicariously through him. So which makes me, you know, which evokes a question in me, like, well, you know, what is it about him? Like, what is that you? Like, what does that say about you? Not you, but the person, the entity. This is very
sad. I know.
So, but I know you have to go. And you know, anyway, man, it's just really, really, really. It's frightening.
Well, and to you know, hearken to something that Tracy has said from time to time, it's also exhausting.
Oh, poor thing. She was just she had just had it. She was in traffic, and I could see her face. I was like, man, I know. It's too much. It's absolutely, and then like, these people don't even understand science. They say, well, Fauci lied. He said, if you got the vaccine, you wouldn't get sick. I'm like, it's a virus. It's a novel.
Yeah, nobody
virus.
Said that.
Nobody said it, number one, because that would be, no one, it said you won't get as sick. That was the message. But I'm telling you, that's why I keep saying, don't focus on the deaths, because this virus, if it gets hold of you, you will be sick. And this B5, I have a nurse friend who works over at the main hospital over at the Capitol. And people are being admitted left and right to the emergency room. This BA around here is going straight to the respiratory system. It's not messing around with your nasal cavity. It's going straight to your lungs. And as we saw before, it can crystallize your lungs.
Yeah.
You know, make them ineffective.
No, it's but, you know, people don't care. They're over it, whether it's and the thing is, I saw some article earlier today saying, you know, here's what the U.S. needs to do to make sure that we're prepared for monkeypox. I'm like, great. We're not going to do it. The story last week that they found a case of polio in Rockland County, New York.
Oh, God, polio's back.
First one, the first case in like near 50 years. And it came from somewhere else.
See, that's proof positive we're moving backwards.
Yeah.
So you know what's funny? Interesting. I just heard a commercial for a whooping cough vaccine.
Well, I mean, it's still a thing.
Well, when we were growing up, I mean, you had to have all your shots before you could even go to school when we were coming up. Period. That was it. End of story. Wear your shots. Because don't come to school until you come with that card. And they would check. The nurse, she'd be like,
yeah, no more.
Get on the phone. See, man, these people have got, they got to get, I think. See, maybe we need the big government they're scared of, because we need to round these fuckers up. They're just too stupid to be walking around free in public.
Feels that way, doesn't it?
It does. No, they need to be watched. Like, they can maybe move freely in small groups with a minder.
With a minder.
I'm serious. I'm really serious, because they're not stable. They're not stable, and they're going to get us all in trouble.
Already have, you know. There's more than a million dead Americans who could testify to that if they weren't so busy being dead. Hey, Todd, I'm going to roll. Good hearing from you, my friend.
You too. I hope you have a good evening, and I hope you're successful in your meeting tonight.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Good to hear from Todd. And hey, you got 2 hours and 10 minutes of a program in. That's, well, we'll call that a win. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors.
We had a goose egg today, and we're in real trouble coming down to the end of July. This is one of the worst month ends. I mean, for God's sakes, we're down to the last 4 days of the last four broadcast days, and we are more than half of the month unfunded. Sorry to keep harping on it. But thank you for those of you who do keep trying. Thank you. Thank you so much. I wish more would. The stalwarts who keep this going need more support. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about y'all. You give and you give and you give, and I'm so grateful. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. I mean that with all my heart. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a proud union shop. And still doing the vital work that no one else can do. Well, I may not be traveling, Randy Radar. I may not be. And if I don't, I'll try to be here. If I don't get to go, I'll for my checkup, I'll try to be here Friday on the front porch. Please stay safe. Get your second booster. Do everything you need, everything you can to avoid this. Like Todd said, get all on it. Even in its mild form. No. And, wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance, wear your mask in the big box stores and anywhere the unvaccinated may be spewing and hacking and coughing and spraying. Thank you, Ralph. Ralph said she will extend her challenge. If somebody will kick in $10, she'll match it. Thank you, Ralph. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you babbling about a weenie chop, well, avoid that marginal trailer queen like the plague because, well, she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.